We welcome those of you that are tuning in to the House of Mana, House of Mana, Mana podcast. We thank you that you have joined in on this particular message today. We're going to take it out of the context of Song of Solomon, chapter 5. We'll continue on with this, the warning to the bride. The bride is asleep. In Song of Solomon, chapter 5, I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible, and verse 1 begins to read, I went to my garden, dear friend, best lover, breathed the sweet fragrance. I ate the fruit and the honey, drank the nectar and wine. Celebrate with me, friends. Raise your glasses to life, to love. The woman responds, I was sound asleep, but in my dreams I was wide awake. Oh, listen. It's the sound of my lover knocking, calling. The man says, let me in, dear companion, dearest friend, my dove, my consummate lover. I am soaked with the dampness of the night, drenched with the dew, shivering and cold. The woman replies, but I am in my nightgown. Do you expect me to get dressed? I am bathed and in bed. Do you want me to get dirty? But my lover would not take no for an answer. And the longer he knocked, the more excited I became. I got up to open the door to my lover, sweetly and ready to receive him, desiring, expecting as I turned the door handle. But when I opened the door, he was gone. My loved one had tired of waiting and left. I died inside. Oh, I felt so bad. I ran out looking for him, but he was nowhere to be found. I called into the darkness, but no answer. The night watchmen found me as they patrolled the streets of the city. They slapped and beat me and bruised me and ripped off my clothes. These watchmen, who were supposed to be guarding this city. I beg you, sisters in Jerusalem, if you find my lover, please tell him I want him, that I'm heartsick with love for him. Lord, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. Now let it be the very substance that we need today to have an understanding of what you're doing in this very hour. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. Well, I want to begin to share with you the continuation of this particular message that the bride is asleep. She must be awakened to the very things that God is saying in this hour. And if we're not listening, then we could be led astray, following after things that we feel could be God, following after things that look like God, smell like God, but is not like God. Amen? Amen. If you want to do that, you will be led astray, and you'll be led to a place that you don't want to be. If you will pay your attention right here where she reached to the door handle, verse 4 through 7 says, but my lover would not take no for an answer. The longer he knocked, the more excited I became. How many of you know that every time that Jesus begins to knock on your heart, you get excited? Some of that excitement is really anxiety because what he's about to reveal. Have you ever been in a place where you know that something has been wrong in your life, but then the very presence of God comes in to convict you of that wrong? How do you feel? There's some anxiousness there. Or like when I was in school and there was a, you know, they used to have the students come into the classrooms and they would have a note in their hand. And the note was always a special color. And you knew somebody was getting called out. So when I would see that blue slip in their hands, I was like, oh, is that me? What did I do? What did I do? What did I do? Is that me? I would get real anxious. Right? Maybe that doesn't affect you because you're, you know, your halos are so bright and shiny. But when you're driving down in a car and you see the police officer right behind you, but you're underneath the speed limit, you have your seatbelt on, everything is working, all your stickers are right, your driver's license is up to date, but why is it that your heart gets racing all of a sudden when authority is right behind you? You haven't done anything wrong, but you think that he's just waiting for you to slip up. One time I was driving to church. Not that I'm late. I'm always here hours early, so it wasn't like I was rushing. But I didn't realize it was 2 o'clock, and there's that school zone right there in Babcock. But I'm going to speed limit. I have my seatbelt on. All my lights work. All my tags are up to date. And I'm driving, and the police officer gets right behind me. And my heart just starts bumping. You remember that movie, The Mask, where his heart just comes out of his chest like this? That's how my heart was. Like, and like, I haven't done nothing. yet. I haven't done anything yet. How many times do you know you have been in a situation where something may be presented to you and your heart starts to race, and you should know better to follow through? But what happens? You start beating so fast that you automatically mess up. Because you're like, oh, you're just going to get me for something. And then so you take your eyes off the speedometer. Next thing you know, you're not going 25 miles an hour. You're going 30 miles an hour. Oh, and it's a school zone, and the lights are blinking. And then all of a sudden, the lights turn on right behind you. So you just, you got me. Pull over. And then he passed right by me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, extra offering in the envelope tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Our heart starts to race because authority is behind you. It's going to get you for your infraction. See, the thing is that her heart was pumping for excitement. But the same token, she kept him out in the rain. The Bible says that his hair was damp from the dew. So he was all wet from the rain. How many times have you kept Jesus away from your circumstance because you wouldn't get up because you were too comfortable in your mess? Are we some safe folks in the house, or? I forgot it's the halos. I keep forgetting it's the halos. It's so bright in here, I got a glare. You see, the thing is that she didn't want to get up to answer the door to Jesus. How many times have we been put in a situation where our circumstance and life has really gotten us so beat down that we're so tired that we don't even want to respond? Do you hear the excuses? I'm in my robe. I just got out of my cow gown, you know, bathtub. All my candles are still lit. You know, and you can hear the music in the background. I just was finished watching Grey's Anatomy, and I don't feel like getting out. And should I get dirty again? Do you understand that he comes when when you think you're comfortable? Sometimes we're comfortable because we're doing good, and sometimes we're comfortable in our mess that we don't realize we're in our mess. Yeah, how many of y'all been in a funk for so long that you're like, shoot, ain't nothing. It's been the same. It's been like 6 years. Ain't nothing changed yet. And you've tried everything to get out of it. Mm-hmm. Looking at all those help wanted ads. Sending I don't know how many resumes everywhere. And ain't nobody calling you. You're getting even more frustrated because ain't nobody calling you. And you're more qualified to pick up dishes that people just finish eating off of. But they don't want to hire you. Excuse me, I'll get off my own soapbox. Because they don't want to hire me. They say, you're overqualified. I'm not too qualified to work for some money to feed my family. But you see, when you're in a circumstance and you're in a season and it prolongs, sometimes you feel like, I don't even want to respond to the knocking. Well, I guess he's about to change some things in my season, so I might as well just get up. Let's go see. I'm getting excited because I feel him getting near to me. And then I reach for the handle. And the only thing that's there is the oil, the myrrh, that he left because he reached through the lock. Do you understand what that lock represents? Is your heart. And that anointing oil that was there, it was to soften up your heart. But because of the circumstance, the situation, your interpretation of your season keeps you from responding. So she reaches for the door handle. She opens it and realizes there's something there, but he's not there. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in a situation where I can sense that he was there, but I wasn't there. God is moving somewhere, but I wasn't in position. God was coming towards the body of Christ, but we weren't in position. We were out of position, and the only thing that is left is just a remnant of his fragrance. Just a remnant of his anointing. Because that's what the myrrh was for. That was the very first thing, the first ingredient in the anointing oil. So why do you think the enemy comes after you the way he does? What do you think he's after you for? excuse me, get you off track, keep you away from the Lord. What else? What is he really after? Say it again. Destiny. How do you get to your destiny if your anointing has been stripped? What you talking about? That? Don't say nothing about that on there. I didn't see that. Do you see where it says here that the watchman beat her? Stripped her of her clothing? She was in a place that she shouldn't have been at night. She was mistaken for, well, I'm going to just say y'all are adults in here. A woman of the night. You know. She was one of those out there working late night in the streets. No, she was mistaken for a woman because she wasn't in the position she's supposed to be in. So she was beaten and stripped. What was she stripped of? She was stripped naked. What was she stripped of? She was stripped of what she said that she was doing when Jesus came to her at the door knocking. See, she was already prepared, but God has to remove some stuff off of you. Woo. Want to get somewhere, but yet you don't want to get rid of some stuff. We need to see that Jesus is responding in a way to his disciples the same way in Matthew 26, 40 through 43 is when he tells them that I'm going to go and pray. Come with me and take watch with me. And three times he goes. And on the third time he says, forget it. Sleep. Because my betrayer has come. Can the disciples who were with Jesus all the time can't even stay up and be awake? And they're in the presence of God. In the very presence of the glory. But because no demonstration of power was being done. Oh, y'all don't want to hear this. Oh, we're not in revival because we don't see people getting healed. We don't see limbs growing out. But we're in his presence and glory is there. Maybe you're not hungry enough to draw on that power to make the creative miracles happen. Oh, see, we want to say we want the cloud of his glory to come. But his very presence is here. His very presence is there. We can get what we need if we were hungry enough for it. If we were thirsty enough, he would give us drink. But we think we have to look for something that we think everybody else says that revival looks like. So he tells his disciples, stay up. They couldn't stay up. I look across the room sometimes during services. Do that on your job. Do it on your job. Oh, but you don't understand. That's how I get paid. Who do you think allows you to get paid? Who do you think allows you to get up in the morning? Hallelujahs. Hallelujahs. Now, today's message is, who's after your oil? Who's after your oil? Who's after it? Turn with me to Matthew 25. Who's after your oil? Matthew 25, 1 through 12. When you're there, say amen. All right. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. First one says that the kingdom of heaven will be likened to 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. Why would he put that in there in verse 2? We got 5 wise ones and 5 fools. 5 wise and 5 fools. Might want to look around sometimes who you hanging out with. Might want to look around and see who's the wise and who the fools. See, when you first start out, you can't tell the difference. Because they all have the same oil and have the same lamp. But the ones that know how to reserve the oil and not just give it everywhere and not put themselves to be taken advantage of. Oh, hell, y'all need to hear this one. Because hell's trying to take your oil from you. Every time you're doing something for the things of God, there's always going to be some fools around. And they're there to take your oil. Who's after your oil? Verse 3. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, But the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. The wise and the fools fell asleep. But the wise took enough oil. Why would you need oil if you're asleep? Anybody know? None of y'all watch, you know, like Survivor Man or Being Out in the Wilderness or something? Keep animals away at night, right? So in other words, the oil that they took was knowing that there was going to be a delay in the season. Did you miss it? Because at night is when they would burn the actual oil in their lamps. See, your night seasons may be prolonged. You may feel like God is not going to step in. You may feel like he's delayed. You may slumber just like they did, get weary and get tired and fall asleep. But they had enough oil to keep the very animals away. See, you may be asleep, but your oil is still burning. Someone's going to get liberated tonight. Someone's going to get liberated tonight. Even in your sleep, your heart is awake. Is what the bride said. Even in your sleep, your spirit is still awake. Your oil is still burning. God can still speak to you in your sleep. But if you don't carry enough oil with you in your slumber, you may get led astray in your sleep. Someone may come in while you're asleep. I don't know about you, if you've ever been camping before out in the woods. No. I don't mean no cabin. I don't mean no trailer, you know, no RV. We got no RV. We're going camping. You ain't going camping. You're doing a mobile home kind of mobile hotel kind of thing. But when you go out in the woods, when you ain't got no light, it's dark. And that's when the critters come out. The little ones and the big ones. The big ones you can hear from a distance. The little ones creep in unaware. See, one time I went camping with my son. We had a tent. Had the screen closed and okay, no mosquitoes are getting in. We're good. Nothing's coming in. I'm safe. I feel good. Let's turn the light off. Oh, Lord. It was so dark. But I left a bag of peanuts. Remember this, Josh? Bag of peanuts out on the table. And I started hearing some noise. You remember, Michael? We started hearing some noises here. And at night, when you don't have no light, everything is intensified. It could have been a small noise, like a little cricket, but it sounded like Godzilla was moving in. See, things get intensified in your night season. And see, you can't determine whether they're close, far away, small or big. Oh. And I thought, okay, we're fine. We're sheltered. We're screened in. Like that little screen's going to keep us. I know there ain't no lions and bears out there. But in my mind, what was really out there was the squirrels and raccoons. In my mind, it was a grizzly bear. Because in my night season, things get intensified. They get amplified. And if I don't have the light to push the darkness out the way, I'm going to be in fear. See, they knew that in their night seasons, they had to have enough oil to keep him if he was delaying. That's what wisdom tells you. Don't go and start pouring out all your oil all over everybody and not have a reserve for you when you go through a season. See, I told you I was going to have to worry. I told you. I felt it. I went back there and told him, put another song on. It's heavy in here. Shoot. Maybe we're just slumbering. Oh, I don't want to get up. I just did my hair. I put my what is that, VO5, the leave-in conditioner, hot oil treatment. I don't want to mess up my hair. I don't know about how some of y'all do it when you do your hair before you go to sleep. I wake up with bedhead. You know what bedhead is? Lord. Hey guys, I guess that's why I'm losing hair. I don't know. But you see, the thing is God wants us to be prepared. Instant in season and out of season. Are we carrying enough oil for our night season? do we have reserved for the night season? Light and darkness cannot be in the same place. So what is the trick of the enemy? To blow out the flame. Make you burn your oil and not have the reserve to get you through. And if he can take your oil, you will always slumber. And you'll miss his presence. Who's after your oil? Who's after your oil? Is your oil your friend? Is your oil your spouse? Huh? Or is the oil just an enemy? See, when I read there, is it that the bridesmaids, they were all bridesmaids looking for the groom. They were all in it together looking for the same thing. They were all trying to find destiny. They were all trying to find purpose. But some of them weren't truly prepared. Have you ever tried to go somewhere and someone's not prepared to go with you? Ooh-wee. Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo. Get someone where you're not prepared for what's about to come. You may wind up like the people that went out, the sons of Sceva, that went out to start dealing with some demons and they came back naked. Tore up. Because they weren't ready to go. How many of you are ready for the things of God? Huh? You ready for them? How many of you know that every time you say yes to God, the enemy says, here I come? Every time you say, yes, Lord, here comes the enemy. Every time the Lord begins to move in your life, so does the enemy. Every time God begins to manifest goodness in your life, the enemy comes right there to try to make you give it up. You ever received a prophetic word? Mm-hmm. Then it seemed like it went the other way. He's trying to steal your joy. Trying to kill, steal, and destroy the very word that was spoken into your life. Who's after your oil? Who is after your oil? All the verse 7 says, watch this. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 5 says, when the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Verse 6, at midnight, they were roused by the shout, look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. I wonder who shouted. Does it say who shouted on any of your versions that you're reading? Does it say who shouted? No? How come the shout usually comes from somebody else? How come a noise comes from somebody else? How come it's not the ones that were there really waiting for him? I believe that the Lord is saying that I'm about to do something that even the ones that think that I'm the one that's going to move in their life and they will be the ones to usher in the very glory, it ain't going to be them. It's going to be someone unknown. It's going to be someone that doesn't have a platform. It's going to be someone that is not looking for a TV spot. It's going to be someone that is just looking and prepared and willing for the things of God to transpire. He's going to look for someone that is always willing, ready, and able. So when he says go, they're ready to go. What is the one thing I say in this house all the time? Don't get ready. Stay ready. Why must you stay ready? Because you never know when God's going to call upon you. You never know. And if you got fear inside of you, do it afraid. Just do it afraid. Because then you can start pulling on his grace and mercy to help you through. You do it afraid. Who's after your oil? I ask you, who is after your oil? Verse 7 says, all the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. But the others replied, we don't have enough for all of us. Go to the shop and buy some for yourself. Verse 10. But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. And then those who were ready went with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Ooh. Verse 11. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he called back, believe me, I don't know you. Ooh. That's a strong warning. There is a coming of the Lord. There will be a move of his presence. Very, very strong. But not everybody will participate in it. Not everybody will be in position. And not everybody will understand that it's here. Do you understand that? What is that saying? He could be moving right now. Right now. Oh, he's coming, he's coming. And he's been. He's been. He's already shown up. What does the myrrh represent? It represents the anointing. What else does the myrrh represent? It's also used for the embalming. Now, when the woman was getting ready to be prepared for the visitation of the king, do you know it took 12 months before she could ever go before the king? You know that? 6 months she was prepared with myrrh. And then the other 6 months with perfume and oils. Then she could be summoned. The anointing is required before you go before the king. You've got to be prepared. You've got to be ready. The trick of the enemy is to start taking things from you to make you very unresponsive and to make you feel lethargic. He will come to steal your joy. He will come and bring all kinds of vices to stop you from experiencing the very presence of his glory. Has he ever taken you out of some things? Huh? Or how about, have you ever taken yourself out of some things? Because of decisions? Because of actions? Because of fear? And that happens quite often. And if he can get you just off course just a little bit, what'll happen? You'll miss the mark. But if he takes you way off course, it wasn't him that took you. You took yourself. You took yourself. Why? Because you followed after your desires. See, God wants you right on his path. The enemy knows it. He knows it. So he's not going to take you immediately right off. He's just going to get you lured just a little bit. Just a little bit. So that you don't realize it's him. So subtle that you don't realize that the enemy is moving. Maybe it's our desires that we haven't dealt with in our life. Begins to take us off course. By the time we realize that we should be going closer to our destiny, but we're getting further and further and further away. Do you want to be that person? I don't know about you, but the Bible says he knocks. Revelation 3:20 says, look, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will share my meal together as friends. Are we willing to let him in? Will we let him in? Will we let him come into the places of our hearts that we can allow him to make change in our life? Or will we fight him? Will we fight against the things that he's asking for? I don't know about you, but I think I want God to begin to move in the body of Christ. Begin to show the hearts of people so that we can get further than we've ever been. There's so much division, so much chaos. There's so much segregation. So many walls are built up because of rejection, jealousy, abandonment, that we build them up within the church. And we blame the enemy. It's because we never dealt with our own issues. And then we project outwardly to somebody else and put it on them and say, you hurt me. No, we didn't hurt you. You've never dealt with this issue. And the wall that you've built has kept you from receiving your healing. Do you understand? And then here we are. In this place, waiting for God to come in. He's like, I'm still trying to get you to put your walls down. I'm still trying to come in to get you to release all that fear you have. If he tells Joshua, fear not, be encouraged. For in 3 days, you're going to cross over. And then on the third day, he tells him, fear not for today. Why is he telling him fear not? Because fear will stop you from crossing over. Fear will cripple you from getting what God wants you to get. Can you imagine if Joshua felt like he was rejected? Or he felt like he was abandoned? What if Joshua would have felt like, well, how come you chose Moses first? Well, how come I wasn't chosen like Aaron and his sons? How come we had to wait so long and we had to follow Moses for the longest time? You see, we think that we have the right to question God. How come it's taken so long? How come we're not where we're supposed to be? Maybe he's been dealing with that issue in your life for a long time and you don't want to deal with it. It's time to deal with it. We don't want to be the people that are, I've got my oil, but I may not have enough, but I think I'll be able to stand a little bit long just in case if he's delayed. But if I don't have enough, I'll just run this door, go get some more, but I'll miss my opportunity. See, he's knocking right now on the body of Christ, trying to get us in position, but we're so caught up in our own issues and all the distractions that we have at home, our job, our husbands, our wives, our children, everything else, our ministries, our churches, our money. That he's like, I'm trying to get you to understand, if you would just do as Solomon did and seek me, all these things will be added unto you. But we're so caught up seeking the things that we think is going to fulfill our desires. I was driving around today and I went to the movies with my son. And it was empty. The parking lot was pretty much empty because we went early. I said, Josh, we're not going to find a seat. He's like, oh yeah, Dad, it's empty. So the lady opens it up. She says, pick your seat. Wherever you want to sit. It's open. And I believe that's what God is saying. He goes, I have prepared and cleared out a land for you. Pick your spot. Pick your spot where you're supposed to be. But get in a position so that you can be there when I say it's yours for the taking. It's yours for the gathering. Go get your spoils, but we got to be in position. If we're not in position, we'll miss it. And somebody else will take your spoils. You could be knocking, let me in, let me in. And then he can say, I don't know you. You act like everybody else, but your heart won't let me in. Your heart is far from me. You may be prophesying, healing the sick, casting out devils, but depart from me, for I never knew you. This is the time when we got to get back into position and allow him to know us intimately, to a time of intimacy with the Lord. I'm sorry, but this is a strong warning to the church as a whole. He's after your oil. You might want to know who you're surrounded with, because they're after your oil. They're after your oil. When they get your oil, they get your destiny. When they get your destiny, they get the goods. What are the goods? They get your household. Something is creeping into the household of the people of God, and we don't know it. We're so caught up with doing and doing and doing, so busy, we don't see that the enemy has crept in unaware and deposited seed of wheat in the corn. And we've got to be ready. We've got to be poised in position to take notice and to discern. I said, Lord, I don't want to do it. And I knew this was confirmation. The movie we went to go see was Batman versus Superman. Oh, I felt it. Superman stands in the council because they're getting ready to tell him it's his fault for all of the stuff that's going on. Watch what happens, watch what happens. There's a bomb that is planted inside the courtroom. And it explodes and everyone dies in it, but of course Superman. So Superman goes to Lois Lane. This is what he said. I didn't see it. Superman sees everything. This is what he said. But I wasn't looking for it because I was distracted by what was being judged to me. Oh! When I heard that, how many times has the enemy put a case on you and your discernment doesn't pick it up, and then you get mad and you miss the trick of the enemy and he takes everybody out around you, but you're left there standing to answer. I didn't see it come in. But he had every ability to see it. He didn't see it. So, of course, like Lois, oh, Clark, what can you say?
when you know the ability was there to see, but you chose not to see. Because you were caught up with what was facing you and the charges being brought against you. If you ain't seen this movie, I'll tell you what, you're going to see so many symbolisms of what I'm telling you. The enemy's brought a case that is not true. They're lies against you to set you up. But the setup only brings about, oh my God, today, only brings about more of his revealing glory and power of what's about to be restored to the body of Christ. Who's after your oil? Who is after your oil? It is for us to understand that the enemy's not going to stop coming after you. He's going to continue. But you have got to have your discernment keen. You have got to desire discernment more than anything else. Who cares if you can prophesy? Who cares if you can heal and you can't discern a demon in the very room in which you sleep? We are walking around crippled in the church. We're blind in the church because we can't see what the enemy has intended to do in the body of Christ. And in these last days, he will raise up prophetic intercessors to see what is coming to the body of Christ. But we need people on their faces that will pray along with them and not just say, Lord, have your way and it'll be done. That's not prayer. When you get on your face and pray and seek the Lord, you don't get up until you feel a release. That's why the church is taken advantage of. That's why the accusations towards the church is increasing, because our voice has been taken away. Who's after your oil? Who's after it? Are you so busy just giving it out to everybody that wants to suck on you? Suck the anointing right out of you? Well, I'll tell you this, you can get mad at me all you want. But I'm speaking not as a pastor today, but as a prophet of God. If you don't guard your oil, it will be stripped from you. So when I shut my phone off, I ain't taking no phone calls late at night. You respect me and my family so it can be done unto you as well. The Lord told me, if you will sow mercy, you'll get mercy. If you sow grace, you'll get grace. So when he told me, you get mercy, I said, Lord, I'm about to experience something, ain't I? So I'm going to start showing mercy everywhere I go. God bless you. I love you. But I'm going to tell you the truth now, so I don't have to go with this in my life no more. I'm going to tell you the truth. You're not taking my oil. I'm going to guard my oil. I'm going to protect my anointing. I'm going to make sure when he comes, I got my oil. It may come at midnight, but I got my oil. And if you ain't got yours, you a fool, is what the Bible says. Guard your oil. Protect it. Trying to throw it on everybody. Here you go, take my oil. And then when it's needed, against the biggest war you're ever going to fight, against yourself. Because the myrrh is used in the embalming process. What is that saying? You're going to have to learn to die to self first. If you don't know how to die to self, everything else is going to look like you can do whatever you want to do. He'll let you do it for a minute. See, Saul was anointed to be king. But he was fired, stripped, and continued working with no anointing. No anointing. You want to be like Saul? Oh, I was called to be king, but you blew it. I don't know about you, but when I fire somebody in the workforce, oh, I escort them out the building. Oh, you know what? No call, no show. What we were talking about earlier today, Josh, at lunch. When they don't show up and they don't call, they don't care. Come with me. You're not good for the company. He needs to go. He needs to go. You're out of here. I'm not going to keep someone around just because they act like they got oil. Act like they're anointed. No, you have got to understand that if you're called to be at my side, you're going to know that we're moving in the direction that God said for me to move in. If that ain't your direction, get to stepping. Not everybody's going with you. told me, sow mercy and mercy will be given unto you. I said, Lord, it's time to die more of me. More of me has to die. Kill my flesh, God. I said, I've been at the altar of sacrifice more times than I know. I thought I was a dead man walking. He says, oh, there's some more stuff in there, Marty. There's some more stuff in there. And I'm going to get to the very root of it if you'll let me. I said, Lord, open it up with the scalpel. Get to it. Let's do it. Let's do it. I don't want to be the same person. No, I want to grow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Pastor, I'm glad it's you. It was you too. Each and every one of you. Whether you're called, elected, selected, and appointed, it don't matter. There's an appointment for you to get on the altar of sacrifice so he can open you up, get rid of the stuff that's inside, so he can put the newness of God inside of you so that you can be raised into a new creation. You understand what I'm talking about? We got to understand that when she reached for the door handle, she touched the very thing that was going to bring her closer to him. What was it? The anointing. What was it? It's the dying to self. Why? Because there's preparation to go before the king. Come on. We've got to see that the anointing is what is keeping us, which is his grace. He is Christ, the anointed one. He is keeping us. But he's also the one that's calling us to die to self, to bring down haughtiness, pride, to bring everything down that raises itself above him, to take and say, God, I don't want this no more. I don't want this no more. I'm not going to quit on you, God. I'm going to quit on me and rely on you. Because I think I put myself before God in times. I said, God, I don't want to do that. I want you to reign over my life. He says, now you understand what lordship is. Who's after your oil? Exodus 30:23 is the mention of the oil. John 19:39 is mentioned as the embalming fluid, the embalming oil for death. Then Esther 2:12 is for the perfume, the preparation for the presence of the king. He's preparing us for his very presence. And this isn't the coming of the Lord that he's preparing us for. Don't get this wrong. He's preparing us for what he's about to do. And he needs workers because the harvest is plentiful. I don't know about you, but if you looked out into this world today, there are more church folks that are out there in the world now than they ever were before because of the great falling away. They have fallen away because there hasn't been a demonstration. It feels like we have been in that age where Christ didn't speak, that we've been in that age where Christ didn't move. But the reality is he didn't move in our timing, so we fell away. And so when we get that way, we don't let God to move within the very spirit. And we push God out of the country. We push God out of the schools. We push God out of the government. We push God out of church. So when the harvest is getting ready to be brought in, we have no workers because they're slumbering. They're slumbering. Each time the bridegroom came, each time that Jesus was represented as coming, it was at night. At night. You want to see the glory of God come? It's going to be in your darkest hour. It's going to be in your midnight situations of your life. The oil, and I don't know her name. I know you're visiting. April, the oil that is in you right now is not only rising to the surface. There's an increase that is coming with the anointing in your life. Not only do you pray and intercede, you have worn for a long season. I've seen you on your face. I see you moving about. Matter of fact, you're more those that move about when you pray. You move about. And you stay alert. The oil that is coming on your life is about to begin to be open visions. And these open visions will begin to reveal, begin to journal and write down what you see. It will be that of a panoramic view that you'll begin to see, like a scene in a movie that shows you the foreshadow of what is coming. And you'll see it. Be prepared. Because the responsibility of that is to share. To share. The oil is increasing in your life, April. It's increasing. Doesn't matter the season and transition that you've been in. There's still a responsibility. Guard that oil. Guard the oil. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because even the ones that have been around you for a season,
may have to just kind of step aside. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. I see you getting wounded a lot by words. Guard your heart. God's going to do a great thing in you. Great thing. Be patient, beloved. Learn to wait on Him with expectancy. Great things are coming your way. The anointing is being brought to the church in this season with purpose for preparing the body for the arrival of our King. We will be led by the way of His Spirit to be made ready for revival. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm hearing this by the Spirit of God that He is coming to make ready His bride for the spirit of revival. This isn't a returning with rapture. This isn't what I'm talking about. This isn't what I'm sensing. People want to quickly get, I'm going to heaven, going to heaven, going, I'm going, I'm going when He comes. We ain't near yet. Now, He's closer than we've ever been, but we ain't near. When you start seeing churches come together, stand together, and you start having peace all over the place, and now say, well, get ready, here He comes. We can't even get pastors together to unite to do a common thing for the body of Christ. Everybody's so, well, you know, you're going to get the spoils and you're going to get all the tithes, you're going to get all the offerings, or you're going to get all the people in your church. Keep them. Keep them if that's the way you are. Because God's got us. Amen? The Bible says that He added them to church daily. Daily. Those to be saved. There's going to be a great awakening in those that are out there in the darkness. And they're going to come running to the church. I'm not prophesying gloom and doom. I'm just telling you, a whole bunch of people coming to the church. They're coming back. But will we find people ready, willing, and able to receive them? Or will they criticize them for where they've been? I told you that the animals were coming. Yeah, I don't want to deal with them because I don't want to. They ain't ready. More coming. They go, I don't see no animals. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Really? When you get mad, look in the mirror. When you get a little bit upset at your neighbor, or your husband, your wife, the cat, the dog, the fish, whatever, look in the mirror. How are you responding? Oh, I heard that one. Who are you texting in the manner that you're texting? Who are you commenting on Facebook the way you commenting? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. The church will be anointed for power and demonstration of His word and demonstration of the kingdom. The anointing will be for healing and the declaration and demonstration of His word to go forth, to break down the walls, and to open up the gates. His presence will have an everlasting aroma in the season of revival for you to be ready. Get ready because the gate is about to be open, for He has been knocking at the very door of your heart. He is about to open it. Will you open it for Him and allow Him in so that you can receive your spoils? Well, I guess one got it. Amen. Matthew 7:7, New Living Translation says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking Him and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. I'm trying to tell you that the door is about to be open. What door is about to be open? The very thing that has shut you off from what the enemy has taken you from. Has He taken some stuff from you? Have you received it all back? No, then it's not what God said it was going to happen. In Proverbs, it says this. Proverbs 6:30-31. New English Standard Version says this. Proverbs 6:30 says, people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his appetite when he's hungry. But if he is caught, he will pay sevenfold and he will give all the goods of his house. Your pastor's not here tonight. I'll tell you that right now. Your pastor's not here tonight. If you can't distinguish it, then I pray for you. Bible says this about the thief. Don't despise the thief. Because if he's taking something from you, because he's hungry, so be it. What if he gets caught? How does he get caught? See, this is what we miss. Our discernment didn't pick it up that he was there. We were blinded to see what he was doing. So we didn't see him take it. But if we realized it was the enemy that took it, and we put notice on him, oh, since you took it, 7 times greater you got to repay. But not only that, I'm taking all the goods that you've taken, and I'm getting my spoils. I'm getting my stuff that you've been messing with for a long time. Some of the stuff I didn't see you take, but because I caught you this time, I'm going to get 7 times greater on everything it's going to cost you to get everything out of your house and bring it back into my house. Maybe somebody went to the grave and didn't get their spoil. I'll take their spoil. I'll take what was left. Because the Bible tells me about the 10 lepers that were outside. The lepers that were outside the gates. He said, oh, if we stay here, we're going to die. And if we go in, they're going to kill us. But I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. So let's go in. They were hungry. They had issues on their flesh. Don't miss this. They have flesh issues. But God said, just go in. I will make a sound and confuse the enemy. So that when they got in, even though they had issues on their flesh, they still got the spoil. They still got the stuff. They got so much stuff they had to go tell everybody else. There's too much for us. Come get some. It took them 3 days to get it. Was it their stuff? No. You're going to get their stuff. You're going to get back everything that was taken from you. Everything that was stolen from you. You can get everything back that ain't even messed with, touched with. Because we have certain notice that you're getting it back. If you mess with your health, then you're getting it back. If you mess with your family, then you're getting it back. If you touch your land, then you're getting it back. Guess what? 7 times greater. The trick is for you to quit and give up. You can't quit. You may get tired, but hold on to the oil, because it's the oil that will destroy the yoke that the enemy has placed on you. And that every time he wants to come against you, you can stand with the oil of God on your life. I'm getting my stuff. I'm getting my stuff. I said, notice now. I see you. I bought you. It's mine. Woo. I don't know what psalm it is, but it talks about it. That even if they stole it, they got to bring it back unto your lap. It says that they steal it. He has to bring it back and lay it on your lap. Why your lap? Because you got to sit still and know that he's got it for you. And he'll forget about you. Because you can't even stand anymore. He's saying, just sit and be still. I got you. And wait upon the Lord. Because when I'm bringing it back while you're sitting down in the very presence of the Lord. And it's that anointing that will draw it back to you. And as you're sitting, it will fall right on you. He'll bring it as you're sitting. He'll change some stuff all about you. And you'll see that what was once there is no longer there. But the very presence of God has brought into you what you're in need of. I recognized you. I discerned your presence. Now I command you to restore what you have stolen 7 times greater. Matter of fact, empty out your house. Give me everything that you've taken, whether at mine or somebody else's.
And if it's so much that is coming to you, go get somebody else to come in and join in the spoils. Too much for you to carry. Took 3 days. 3 days. Why 3 days? Because the resurrection power will always cause you to rise up and call people to know God truly has showed up on the scene to bring to you restoration and healing. Cynthia, you are healed from that very issue right now in the name of Jesus. I bind it right now in the name of Jesus. You are already moving forward in your freedom. The chains have come off of you. The yoke is destroyed off of you. And you're going to lift up your holy hands and know that victory is already yours. Because the Bible says that he has drawn nigh unto you as because you've been drawn nigh unto him. Victory is yours, says the Spirit of God. He tried to hit you from behind, but God said, it's because where I'm taking you, it was a push to get you forward. Don't you worry. It was only one last attack. But God said, you discerned it, and now you will see that your future has been right in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Greater is coming. Greater. The oil is increasing. It's the oil of gladness as well. When you're in his presence, there's the fullness of joy. And every fire that has been raging around you, it's been intensifying like you've been in the furnace yourself. Felt like doors were shutting and others were open, and then all of a sudden there's been all kind of negativity all around you. Not before what we talked about, but from what I see. It's only to intensify and bring in greater for you. Beloved, let God burn off what needs to burn off. Let him sever what needs to be severed. Let him do the scalpel and do the surgery what needs to come out. But let him restore to you seven times greater. Seven times greater. Your joy, sir, your joy shall be intensified. Intensified. Lord, I speak to your heart. I encourage you. Lift your head up. You're a man of God. You're a man of God. He ain't forgot about you. He's going to lift you up. His very radiant glory will be all over you. Because when I watched you at Aliens, I saw who you were becoming. I saw a glimpse of who you are. Future. Don't throw it away. Hold on to your oil. Because he's after your oil. You think he prophesies? You think he moves in supernatural? Yeah, and he has scratched the surface of his disciples. Greater you shall do than him. Greater. That's what the Bible says. Elisha did far more greater miracles than Elijah. It wasn't easy following. I'm speaking to your heart right now. When you made a choice to follow, it got harder. The fire started intensifying around you. But the Bible says that if you keep your eyes on him, greater you will have. Greater. The mantle's already on you. You picked it up as a young child. Did that. The Lord has honored your heart. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. You can ask your daddy about that. It gets hard. Be encouraged, son. Be encouraged. Greater joy is coming your way. Greater joy. Greater joy. See it happening in your life. See it happening in your life. Restoration is coming to the both of you. Let him do it. Let him do it. If you let him do it, you will see the very things that he has promised you. Don't deter from it. Stay and honor the very covenant that he's given you. And watch what he'll do. But when you play with covenant and you disobey, you're in rebellion. And when you're in rebellion, that's witchcraft. Stay in covenant and watch what God will do. Wants you to restore, bring wholeness and healing. Watch it. That's good, sir. That's real good. I heard you. It'll be a short season, Carla. Short. After I hung up with you, I began to intercede. heard the angel say, it's my time. It's my time to get there. I need you to take your hands off and let me move on her behalf. You do it. Fear not, beloved. Fear not. The flood waters are rising. But it's to bring the judgment against everything that was there. To remove it. To cleanse it. And to make new. You'll see a new one come forth. You'll see a new one come forth. Don't beat yourself up because you've been beating yourself up about it. It wasn't your actions that drove. It is your prayers that kept. I don't know what this means. But I see an increase, and I don't know how this is. I know our situation. Supernatural increase is coming to you. You can look, try to search, but it's coming to you. You haven't wavered, you have just been weary. And because of being weary, the Lord says, I have stepped in. And I will make a turn. And what was once locked and closed will be open. What that is, I have no clue. But it will be open to you to remove anxiety and fear. The sleep that you desire, the REM is coming back to you. You will feel the peace over your body and restoration in your body. And hear the Spirit of God saying, you've even said to yourself in prayer, if I just spend a little bit more time with you, what is that going to do? I need you to show up for me. I need you to step in. I feel like I'm her, that bride, laying there waiting. I hear you. But I'm dismayed because it's been a long night. I'm here to tell you that God is getting ready to move on your behalf. There's a supernatural increase that is coming to you. It's going to be done through God, not by your own actions, not by anything else. It is coming to you. You have sown mercy and grace. Now it's being given unto you. You have given of yourself to many. Now God has given of himself to you. You have sown into many people's lives. Now the seeds and the harvest is coming back to you. You have given of your time. You have sacrificed distance. You have sacrificed so much for others. God says you will give to others before you even take for yourself. You're coming into a season that you will receive what I have given and bestowed upon you. For it is formed and fitted and fashioned just for you. It has the aroma that you've been asking for. And you will know it when you begin to smell it. You'll say, this is him. The Christ that I have been seeking after with the demonstration. There is a prophetic utterance coming out of your mouth like the fire of God to go forth and it will separate in the atmosphere. Your intercession is being called back into a deeper level. You'll begin to dance before the Lord and show the very goodness of God. For the goodness of God is his nature and he will display it for you. Hallelujah. In my dream, I kept telling you, and I was in the car, we were driving, and I know that we were on I-10 going towards Bernie. I didn't know why that direction, didn't know why we were going, but I couldn't see the car, but I knew we were in a vehicle. I was on the passenger side, and you were next to me. You weren't driving, somebody else was driving. I believed to feel that that was the Spirit of God, but I looked over, and all I could say to you, do not worry, he is good. He is good. All I could tell you was he is good. His nature is to be good. His goodness makes way for you. You begin to go off in a different dialect of tongues. And as you begin to go off in tongues, I kept saying, his nature is good. His goodness is his nature. He is good. Do not fret. Do not worry. For the healing that is necessary is about to take place. There will be a miracle that will be transformed in that life over there. But what God is about to do is restore to you what had been taken from you. Watch this. And I began to see that as we kept going, it was no longer burning. But I began to see that there was a big, big mountain there. And on either side, the road kept going through it. But we were going right through the mountain because God made a way through the mountain. What was standing before you, God made a way for you to go through it. Because of His goodness and His nature is good. You begin to sing in tongues. And we are driving through the very mountain that has stood before you. Oh, I get it. Thank you. And before your son. That we are in the same vehicle, the same ministry, desiring to get past that very mountain that has kept us from going beyond that. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, I've made a way for you to go through it. I have opened it up and you will see. You will see. The mountain wasn't cast. I made a way through the mountain for you. That's why I was in the car. Be encouraged. Because you're going to drive right through it. Right through it. It's His goodness. The Lord is good. That is His nature. The Lord is good. It is His goodness. It is His nature. His nature is His goodness. God is going to do it. Do not fret. Do not worry. Because we're still moving in the direction that He's called us to be. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, son. Come on. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Huh. Saw his son. I know he's your son because he was calling you mom. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Why? I like this. Why? Because I'm coming to you. See, God's going to restore that the years that the cankerworm and the palmworm have stolen from you, from your family. You will be reunited, and it begins with your son. It will be the catalyst that will begin to bring healing amongst the family. That you're going to see your family restored back to you in greater levels. And in the midst of that, your husband is already on his knees. Stay focused, beloved. Stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused. That God has given you grace with. You're going to help change, I say it this way, shift so that it would allow for the change in the direction. There's been a hindrance there with the CD. But I see that you're going to speak a prophetic word into their life. It's going to shift so that it can change the direction of it. Others are going to come in by way of the influence that you have. I see seed being dropped in the ministry because of healing that was taking place. I see miracles taking place in families around the area of influence that God has given you. Families reuniting, families coming together.
And seed is going to be dropped because there's been healing, not only just in the family members, but physical healings of the body. And seed is going to begin to be sown into your life, sown into your life. Many more healings are about to come forth. Creative miracles as well. Creative miracles. For some reason, I keep seeing a man with a lung that has been damaged, that he's come once, but will return again. You will speak and lay hands, and you'll see. And the doctors will give the report about that lung being restored. Be like they said to my son, it was like a brand new lung that was come forth. There's a lot of healings getting ready to take place in the ministry, sir. A lot. And seed being released into your life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Give yourself the recording back there. Thank you.